I just assume you guys were already chatting it up. Damon said he was ready to BS.
We were.
Oh.
But
What's he doing now?
now he is, he went
Jagging
to
it.
the
Yeah, he's jagging it.
I'm gonna jack it where the sun always shines.
He's gonna jack it.
Been spreading the word and now I need to ease my mind.
Jacking it. Oh.
Been planting them apple seeds and while the apples grow, I'm gonna go out jacking it in San Diego.
Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jack. Spanking it, spanking it, smack.
I'm editing. I guess I gotta stick it in there.
Yeah. That's what she said.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that's good. So I can stick the jacket in there and I can go back to it. It's like an extended double cold open.
Yo, we are no superstars who wanna be large and forget who we are. Don't judge us by bank accounts and big cars. No matter how bright we shine, we're far from being stars, cause stars fall and disintegrate before they hit the asphalt. They incinerate, cause we came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill for those who appreciate those with skills and fresh windmills and grab that kills. What is a DJ without the scratch to feel? Without the elements, it's all irrelevant. Niggas love the freestyle, but hate the fellowship.
Yeah, taste the city. What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk. And with a goal line interception, the football season is finally over. The Patriots have solidified their position as the model franchise that every team should aspire to be. Minus the cheating. In this week's episode, you can expect a bit of Super Bowl recap, including our opinions about the commercials and halftime, because why not? Then we'll discuss more Benson family developments, of course a Pelican plunge, and we'll throw in an NFL reach around for good measure. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm going to go with the 3 1/3.
Okay. Let me guess. I'm going to go with wine for at the meeting.
Yes.
And you poured yourself a mixed drink now. Maybe it has Coca-Cola in it?
It is what I have, but I did not pour it.
Oh, what's the detail that I'm
going to... I just got it to go and just kept it with me.
So. Oh, okay.
I paid extra for it, you know, since it's the Super Bowl episode.
Oh.
You got to pay extra for your drinks. So that's just the way it goes.
All right, Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Big 0.
And so we're back to our regular type of show. I guess, you know what, let's call it our first segment, Game Recap. Okay, so Patriots win the game at the last possible opportunity. What a great ending to a decent game, maybe?
I thought it was a great game. It's
I
a
don't
shame.
Know, you texted it was a terrible game.
No, it's because I hated both these teams. So. It was actually a fantastic football game. I was kind of disappointed. I was like, couldn't these teams put off some kind of shitty Super Bowl and... people would just bitch and be mad, but no, it was a fantastic game. You could argue one of, if not the best Super Bowl of all time.
Oh, except for one.
Well, except for cheaters. Well, right. Saints is obviously number one. The number one day in the history of New Orleans sports was Super Bowl Sunday, Miami.
I don't know. Someone texted me during the game, "What a gross game!"
Right.
Well, yeah, because it was gross for a while. Because I hated those teams, man. Come on.
To explain yourself, sir.
It was first quarter was 0-0, no score. And then, you know, Patriots take the lead, and you're like, okay, at least the Patriots will end the misery. And then Seattle scores a touchdown in 30 seconds.
That's so...
Like,
all those people calling in, it's rigged, it's rigged.
I was like, all right, Patriots scored, all right, they'll take the lead because Seattle gets the ball. And then all of a sudden, first run, 19 yards. I'm like, oh, crap. All right, and then another big play. I'm like, all right, well, at least it's just a field goal. And then get down 6 seconds left, and you're like, just take the points, take the points. Nope, they're going to go for it, and they're going to get it.
And, you know, Damon, I know you like to like say Russell Wilson's not a great quarterback, and I'm not going to argue about, you know, too much with you on it, but between the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, dude can throw some deep balls, and receivers are catching them.
Well, you know, so could Michael Vick. Again, well, I mean, I was going to get to my Russell Wilson, you know.
But you know, even you can admit Russell Wilson's better than Michael Vick.
Oh, God, no.
What?
What?
God, no.
When did Michael Vick ever win?
No. Do y'all not listen to the podcast?
We're on the podcast.
It's the defense is why Russell Wilson has won a Super Bowl and been in two.
Oh, the defense that gave up double-digit fourth-quarter lead on Sunday? Okay.
Yes, stupid.
Jason, you're not going to say that they don't have a good... They have the number one defense in 2 years.
Right. yeah.
This guy is fucking stupid!
Jason, you're the same person who didn't want to be like the...
Okay, well, obviously that was a mistake.
You know.
I'll definitely admit. I'll admit.
You'd be like
idiot.
The Super Bowl champions.
Yeah. He didn't want to be like the Patriots.
How poetic is that?
I know, right?
Midway through the season, Damon makes a simple comment that they're, and there's a big debate over it, and they go on to win Jason's whole thing. When's the last time they won a Super Bowl? When's the last time? Oh, right. 2 days ago?
Right. Oh, you're right. Jason, when's the last time the Patriots won a Super Bowl?
2 days ago.
Exactly. And my point being at the time is that we needed to be more like the Patriots, and thank you.
Yeah, I can't, you're... Right. I messed up.
So back to the game.
As the fourth of the tradition.
Hey, look, I'll admit my mistake.
Well, you have to. I mean, you won a Super Bowl. You can't defend it. I mean, you're not defending anything.
I don't know. What if I did try to defend it? He's like, no. Well, you know, if they wouldn't have cheated in the NFC title.
Right. Yeah, there you go. You have defense. You have a defense.
I could have come up with an out, but no, I'm not gonna do that.
And look, I think you know. Look, like you said, look, the game, it was the game. I was watching it. The fourth quarter was great. Once the Patriots started coming back, I mean, we all felt a lot better. Mm-hmm. If Seattle would have won, we'd all have said, what a shitty Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Who won that Super Bowl?
I'll be honest with you. I mean, I was... All right, so, but for the people who are going to be like, oh, they shouldn't have won because Seattle would have caught that touch, you know, would have scored that touchdown had it not been for that freak interception. But you could also make the argument that Seattle wouldn't have even been in the position if it weren't for the freak catch.
No.
Which is funny because the Patriots, the helmet catch is what burned them against the Giants.
Their fans were all going like, it was the Tyreek catch, and now this. I mean, it was insane. When I saw that, I was like, oh, fuck. Like, of course, this season is going to end that way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, we were all watching it. We all thought the same thing. These Sons of Bitches are going to win it with this incredibly fluky catch, which when first viewed, I thought it had bounced off the turf.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it bounced off the turf. So when he got back up and ran, I said, well, what's this all about? Then the referee comes in calling the catch, and, you know, obviously it didn't happen. But let's get to the call. The call that everybody's talking about. On the 1 yard line, goal to go, throws the ball.
Okay.
Now, everybody said it's the worst call in Super Bowl history, blah, 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 blah. Well,
I disagree, but go on with your point.
Well, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
Two things, and I heard this on Mike and Mike on ESPN Radio.
Oh, that, yeah.
Okay.
So you're saying take it with a grain of salt?
Well, but it's at least statistics, so I'm pretty sure it's right.
What I did there?
Marshawn Lynch, on 10 tries from the 1 yard line this year, only got in 3 times.
Mm.
7 times he was stuffed. So for all those people saying that, I heard it to Marshawn Lynch, it had been an automatic touchdown, you are way off. Way off. Okay?
Well.
And also, the that interception was the first time the inside slant was intercepted all season long by any team.
Mm-hmm.
Within the 2 yard line, meaning every other team that ran that play.
Yeah, I think we understood what that meant.
Never had an interception.
Tell
now, well, Jason, I have to explain things to you. Sometime we just prove that.
Okay? No, you don't.
We have to explain things to you sometimes, so I have to repeat things over and over and over.
Likely excuse,
but now that doesn't mean that every time that play would run inside the 2, that it was a touchdown. Sometimes the ball, obviously, you know, was blocked. But it had never been intercepted all year long by any team who ran.
It's a safe relative. It should be.
No, actually, it's not. And here's the thing. I don't have a problem with them throwing. I kind of have a problem with them throwing over the middle where there's more guys in the space where anything can happen. Like if you're gonna throw
it to him, Damon.
Just stop. Damon just whatever.
The point. It's never been intercepted this year. It's
right,
a safe
exactly.
Play.
Right.
The law of averages says it's bound to get intercepted.
There's a point.
Yeah. I mean, you could argue that. All I'm saying, I don't have a problem with them throwing it, but roll Wilson out, throw it outside to where, look, if there's nobody open, it's an easy throwaway, clock stops.
Look, it was a bad pass. Russell Wilson.
I don't know that it was a. It was a, no, yes, no, no. It wasn't a bad. It was a great play.
It was. It was a bad pass. You dumb ballhead.
It was not a bad pass. It was a great pass.
No, it was not. No, it was not a bad pass.
You're saying it's a bad pass because you hate Russell Wilson. It was
not. No. It was a bad pass. Go back and watch it. Go back. Don't just think because you're fucking talking and won't shut the fuck up that I'm not going to keep going. So shut the fuck up.
Hey, relax. God judge me.
It was a good pass. How about the fact that...
Hold on. Let me finish my point. If you watch the pass was in front of the receiver and high. If that pass...
In front of the receiver and high. That's a good place to put the ball.
No, because that's where the cornerback can come up and get it, which we just saw it did. If the ball is low and behind...
The receiver doesn't catch it, and it's... picked off by another defender.
And then Damon is saying that's a terrible pass.
Right.
No. He's like, throwing a little behind him. What's he doing right there?
The ball is
worse than Michael Vick.
The ball is meant to be thrown. That play is meant to be thrown low and behind. Okay? If you know what? There's another example of a quick slant in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Tracy Porter picked it. He knew the play was coming. He took it.
That wasn't a slant, you don't know. You know anything about sports?
It was an inside big deal. Whatever.
I'm talking about the Jeremy Shockey touchdown. Go back and watch that play. Drew Brees.
That wasn't really a slant.
It was kind of
like come to the end. It wasn't a slant.
It was the.
David, do you know fucking football?
It was the receiver taking one step and going in and blocking out. The cornerback. So.
All right. Can I say something here?
Why are we arguing? Like, at least Seattle didn't win the Super Bowl, right? We
should. It's how. It's what the point is. My point, what I want to say is everybody's talking about it. It's all about Seattle. Why not give the Patriots guy, the rookie, credit for making a fantastic play on the ball?
Excellent play.
Damon just said it was a bad throw. I couldn't get my point in. I was trying to say it was a great play by the defender. Damon's like, no, it was a terrible throw by Wilson. What did you say? Great play? Okay.
It was a great play by the defender. Yes. Okay. He read an idiot
taking
quarterback.
Taking advantage of a bad pass.
Thank you very much. Exactly.
I mean, but I got to say, it was – again, like I know – so that the whole big talk, everybody wants to talk about that play. But again, go back to Seattle. Then one of the narratives was Seattle having these no-name receivers playing with a chip on their shoulders. And I got to say, Seattle's receivers showed up.
Just the one dude who nobody heard of.
Yeah. Well, okay, Seattle's
just
receiver.
Just the one guy. Doug Ball went at the one touchdown. That was his only catch. Javon Kurz did not much. This one dude, Matthews, catches 100 yards and the crazy passes, whatever.
Fucking Seattle. Thank God they lost.
No, and that's the thing we could all take from this. Fuck Seattle.
They lost. I like the fact that their 12 suffered heartbreak. Like,
oh, yeah.
Think about it. You're 1 yard away from back-to-back Super Bowls and just,
nope. Thank you.
Just like that. Oh.
The look on Richard Sherman's face. Oh, that was wonderful.
He looked like he was going to cry.
Oh, yeah.
Especially earlier he was bragging to the camera.
Exactly.
When
with his three.
He scored to take the lead, right? 2-4. Right. Scored to take the 10-point lead.
I got you 2-4 right here.
I'm so happy the Seattle fans got to experience that.
Oh, goodness. And of course, if you went on their message board, they were all ready to fire everybody, cut everybody. Everybody needs to go.
I love it when they overreact.
Well, I can't say that we haven't been there also, but
no, I don't know that we were overreacting this season.
Right, but we're not going to.
We're talking about firing and cutting Corey White. That's not an overreaction.
No.
Well, in 2011, we were talking about firing Williams and firing.
Yeah, that's true.
Jenkins and that mess.
But you know, you mentioned one of the wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And this will go into this part of the Super Bowl discussion, the classless Seattle Seahawks.
Yes.
Okay, now you want to talk about the TD celebration? I'm sure you've seen it.
Oh yeah, he pooped it.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
He pooped the ball, yeah.
Yeah. After Baldwin caught the TD, okay, he placed the football on the ground in the end zone. He mimicked taking off his pants.
Taking a shit.
And then, then lowered his buttocks like he was taking a dump.
Why?
So
was he on the Patriots, in the Patriots end zone?
No.
Was he shitting on the Patriots?
His only comment is for the person who that was for knows what it means. So you're telling me on the biggest stage in the world, besides World Cup, we'll give it World Cup. Mm-hmm. Something that every child,
why
every football
player, the World Cup.
Well, the numbers are numbers, like you can't. But anyway, you know, right. This is something you dream about as a child. The biggest stage, the most watched fucking thing, the most watched TV show program in history of America.
So far.
Right. Well, I can only speak for now. I can't speak for the future, Jason.
Every Super Bowl, the next year
has been briefed. So your bright idea is to mimic having a bowel movement. That's your bright idea.
Classy. Stay classy, Seattle.
Stay classy, Seattle. This is the biggest jacket. I mean, my goodness. Stay classy, Seattle. It should be a hashtag.
It should be.
Then we'll if you want to move on to the fight.
Yeah, so that's the now thing that really I just could not believe. The game is over. You lost. They're kneeling the ball. And you're going to pull that shit in the Super Bowl?
It's frustration. Just
mad. I know it's frustration, but
it's unprofessional. And if you go back and listen to last week's program, what did I tell you? I said the professionalism of the New England Patriots is going to beat the Seattle Seahawks.
We both said that. That was when I queued you up. I didn't even
know. That's right. That's right. You're right. You queued me up. You didn't know I was going to say
that. Share credit in that one because that's what I was thinking too. Like, look, there it goes. Seattle just proved the point.
Proved our point. We have really been prolific this season. We have had a hell of a season as commentators. I'll say that. Or
analysts.
Or whatever we are. You know, I mean, you know, we were a week ahead on the Benson LeBlanc family.
Yeah.
You know, this you really need to, you know, the Drew Brees said that the problem with the locker room, we lost the leaders. We said that during halfway from the season.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have went to the Saints and told them something.
They need to listen to the show more often.
Right. But anyway, but yes, but it was definitely Seattle is classless, unprofessional. I and I'm hoping. I'm definitely hoping that this is the last we'll hear of them.
You got to think that he's going to get paid sooner rather than later. Is he going to hold out for more money this year? So if they have to give him his contract this year, then that's going to be a huge hit on what.
Well, let me. Is he a free agent right now?
No, they still have him for another year at peanuts. They have him next year for maybe $500,000 or $600,000.
Right. Okay,
I mean, this
okay.
is 3 years from a guy at that kind of money. He's taking you to two Super Bowls, one. At some point, I mean, he's smart. He's got to hold out, right? I mean, you would hold out. I would hold out.
Drew Brees would hold out.
Any smart
Drew Brees would hold. Drew Brees would hold out. We know that.
Any smart player would hold out right now. So you got to think it's coming.
The only thing, and we'll get to Russell Wilson, okay? Since we talked about this, if they make him the highest paid,
is this his contract year?
Quarterback? No.
Really? Are you even listening to the show?
I missed the bat part. Yeah.
Jesus.
I took a gamble. I didn't know who y'all were talking about.
Wow.
And I took a shot. I'm like, Marshawn Lynch or Russell Wilson?
I like what Damon and I can join on you. That's fun. A lot more fun than me arguing with Damon.
Yeah.
But look, Russell Wilson, and I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. If they make him the highest paid player in the league, and, you know, quarterback in the league, he doesn't deserve that.
He's a top 10 guy, but he's not number one.
He's not even close. Dude, I don't think he's
– I would
he's
put
top
a 10,
top 10 quarterback, top yeah, 10 player in the league.
No, top 10 quarterback.
Okay, yeah, no, I'd put him in there.
Top 10 quarterback.
I'd put him in there, but, dude, he is nothing without Lynch or that defense. If Marshawn Lynch decides to walk or can walk or whatever
– Well, and that's – he is a free agent for them, so they right. have to – Supposedly, I think they offered him something, but he's 28 years old. How much is he going to get? But
right.
he's still
right.
Like he hasn't fallen off the cliff yet.
Right.
I mean, looks like he's still got something in him.
Right. But without Marshawn Lynch, is more important to that team than Russell Wilson.
100%. He is extremely important, but if he's more important than Wilson, I don't know.
Oh no, like, no doubt. No doubt he's more important than Russell Wilson. You know how many touchdowns Russell Wilson has this year?
No, I don't.
20.
Well, how many does he have rushing?
That's
Is that combined or is that just passing? It's probably just passing. I want to check in his rushing stats. He's probably got 5 or 6 rushing touchdowns.
No, I know he has 500 yards. Yeah, he has six rushing.
Okay. So okay, it's probably half of Lynch.
You know,
he's got obviously.
No. That's more than half. Oh, you're talking about rushing. Yeah.
I mean, look, obviously Lynch is the key that makes the offense. That is their offensive identity.
Right.
But you can't say Lynch is more important than Wilson. They're probably about equal, or even Wilson a little more.
No, look, 300-yard games, four. For his career.
Okay, right, but his offense doesn't require him to throw for 300 yards.
Why not? Why not, Jason?
Because they have Lynch. And they don't have to. Hold on. They have such a great defense, they take and they just run the clock out.
Oh. Well, that's my point.
I heard it.
That's my point, Jason.
The offense is designed around Lynch, but it doesn't mean he's not as important. It doesn't.
Yes, it does.
If they didn't have Lynch, they would design their offense around Wilson. I think Wilson's
plenty
capable enough of doing that.
Bullshit.
Any quarterback needs a good running back.
The problem is that the media pumps this guy up, and he doesn't deserve it.
I don't think he deserves
to be pumped up as much as they pump
him up, but it doesn't mean he's not good.
He's decent. He's decent.
He's a top 10 quarterback in the league. He's a top 10 quarterback in the league.
Well, perhaps, yeah, you know, he probably is in a league that doesn't have 32 starters.
Right, but
also... No doubt. In a league that has about maybe 20 starters, probably more around between 15 and 20. Is he the top in there? Yes, no doubt. I mean, can I name you 10 starters, 10 quarterbacks better than him? I mean...
I don't think so. It'd be cool. I don't think he could.
I mean, we know Brady, Breeze, Manning, Rodgers.
What with Manning's injury status?
Yes.
That
Brady, Breeze, Manning, Rodgers, shit pants.
No, I'd put Flacco ahead.
Flacco,
Roethlisberger ahead.
I'd put Roethlisberger. I'd put Eli ahead.
Yeah.
We're talking about being.
I know. The last.
The problem is you're too stupid to separate a team and a quarterback.
No, I'm not.
You know. Well, yeah, you are because you know. No, you'd say Dan Marino hasn't gone to went to one Super Bowl and won zero. You think Russell Wilson's better than Dan Marino?
No, I didn't say that.
I know you did, but I'm trying to clarify.
No, that. I wouldn't say that. I think Russell Wilson's a better quarterback. Well, right.
Here's the thing.
We're getting way fucking
during
off.
The game. One of the guys, I don't know who said it, but maybe it was Collinsworth. He said Russell Wilson is a good quarterback once he gets outside. So like they're like the keys to the game was keep Russell Wilson contained in the pocket because he can't beat you from the pocket. It's right. Once he gets outside the pocket, he becomes a good quarterback. That's what they said. When he gets out the pocket, he becomes a good quarterback. I'd like to say that once he gets out the pocket, he's no longer a quarterback. Now he's a runner. And so that kind of
goes along with the
point that as a traditional quarterback in the NFL, he's not among the top 10. But as a player on the field, regardless of position, he's an athlete. He's an athlete.
Yes, yes. He's an athlete. He brings things to the position that the average quarterback, like a Drew Brees, doesn't. Okay?
Running.
But running. And, well, not just running, but extending plays. And Ben Roethlisberger is a big guy, but who also is very good at extending plays.
Mm-hmm. And can't Brees, tackle him because he's too fucking big.
Right. But what he brings to the position, he also has too many deficiencies, in my opinion, for being a quarterback. You know, a pure pocket.
He's also young.
Quarterback. And look, he benefits
only a
more
third
from
year in the league.
He benefits more from that defense and Lynch. If you put him on a team that needs him to lead it, he will not, and that is a sub 500 team.
I don't think so.
We already know what your opinion is worth, Jason. You don't want to be the Patriots.
Jesus, my God.
We are, so we know what your opinion is worth. Your opinion is worth.
How long you think you gotta pay for that one?
Your opinion is worth Russell Wilson.
It doesn't matter because he's never gonna let it down. He's always gonna bring the shit up like a fucking donk. He's just gonna keep bringing it up.
He's a donkey. Okay.
Okay. If Russell Wilson Russell Wilson could lead a team to a 500 record without a spectacular defense.
Right,
he's good enough to do that.
No, he's not.
Okay. Well, it's a good thing you're a fucking expert and you know.
Well, thank you. I am because we've already established that.
Okay, so other things happened during Sunday night, and that means commercials. Let's shift our focus. I personally feel like this crop of commercials was the worst ever.
Oh, really? I don't know.
Commercial about foot fungus. It's a joke. Like, how is this a Super Bowl commercial? It looked cheaply put together. The name was like Vibria.
I don't know.
I was like, what am I watching here? Is this a prank? Is Ashton Kutcher going to pop out?
And what's the deal with like every commercial trying to make you cry?
Right, there was the one with the kid that died.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was just, you know what? That was just uncalled for. I mean, that was bullshit.
But everybody went for the heartstrings.
Right.
The only commercial I like was the one with Heisenberg behind the counter at the pharmacy.
Pretty lame.
I just liked it because it had Heisenberg in it.
It was nice seeing Heisenberg again. Yes.
But it was poorly written. Get over the fact that it was Heisenberg.
Considering all the other shit that I saw, this commercial was a godsend. Hey, at least I can relate to it.
Just seeing him, it was. Oh, by the way, Clydesdale's horses. I called that. I told you the motherfuckers weren't retired.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, they needed a lost puppy.
But even you're right. Like even that was like this whole the horses go out and find the lost puppy and
it was a good commercial. Yeah,
it was. I like that. The horses coming to save him from the wolf. You know, here come his buddies to save him.
You suckers.
Look, one of my favorite was the BMW commercial, the newfangled idea. The one with Brian Gumble and Katie Couric.
That was a good one.
How cool was that?
That was well done. It was just cool to see them talking about the at sign.
Right, the internet. Didn't have any idea what the internet was. I mean, and that was, you know, totally...
That was,
you know,
amazing.
Right, and that wasn't a put-on or anything back then. That, you know, that was just our mentality.
Footage. Yeah.
Right. That was a good one. I thought the Mindy...
Mindy Kaling.
Kaling, yeah. Her, I thought that was cute. I like that. I thought that was a cute one.
I don't remember that one.
I think it's for Nationwide Insurance, where she thinks she's invisible, and she's going around, like, you know, sunbathing nude in Central Park, grabbing ice cream.
Must have been peeing during.
She goes to try to kiss Matt Damon.
Oh, right. Okay. Right. I want to see that. I never saw that one.
Right, and then Matt Damon pulls away and says, "Excuse me," and she goes, "You can see me." You know, that was cute.
Okay, that's good.
You know.
I don't remember a Doritos.
I don't remember Doritos. But what I do remember, I wanted the avocado.
Oh, that was so stupid.
Oh, that was cute.
That was so stupid.
That was hilarious. What's
the avocado one? I don't remember these commercials.
The avocado one, Jeff, it kind of reminded me of an old Chappelle Show joke they did when they were inducting people into races. Okay, if you remember that on the Chappelle Show.
So, yeah, the race draft.
Right.
Yeah, the race draft.
Right. So anyway, they're having a draft for animals to, you know, where they're going to live, I guess, in this little commercial.
Oh, okay. I kind of
and it's Mexico's turn, and they show the polar bear, and he has a big sombrero.
Oh, and he's hoping
on.
That he gets picked.
Right, and he has two you know, things with, you know, the noisemakers, and
I do like and that.
Show the poor polar bear wanted to go to Mexico, and they show the avocado. That was good.
Oh, that was for that avocado salsa thing, which I think that's to Jason's point, it's a bunch of like random commercials for random stuff.
Well, this is
the big players were not there anymore.
They've all run out of ideas.
No.
I mean, this is the first year I haven't seen Danica Patrick in God knows how long.
Oh, yeah. Now, what did y'all think about, obviously, with the dead kid, for Christ's sake? I mean, that's not what I wanted to think about as I'm about to drink and drive. But I wasn't drinking and driving, but that was funny. Yeah. The one about Like a Girl.
Vaguely remember that. Was it trying to send a message about?
Trying to send a message about how Like a Girl is a negative connotation. We, you know, as adults, we have a you throw like a girl, you do this like a girl, you know, and trying to get that and empower young
ladies. It made me feel for telling my boys that afternoon that they were throwing like a girl.
well, right. And
I didn't really say that, but it's funny. That's fine, but I don't know. It's kind of, well, it kind of, that one, chalk it up with the domestic violence commercial that the NFL ran to pretend like they give a shit about something.
Exactly.
And actually, I found that one to kind of fall flat too.
I definitely found that though. Yeah. I think if you didn't know what it was going into the game, I think you're confused watching it.
Yeah. Now, I tell you what I liked. I liked it, but I also complained about it. Like, there were commercials for the commercials. So, like, before the game started, Mercedes was running commercials for you to pay attention in the fourth quarter for the rabbit versus the turtle, the tortoise.
Oh, right.
Great race or something.
Jeez. Wow.
So they were in like four or five commercials before the game started. That's like, the big race is coming in the fourth quarter. Make sure you watch for it. Make sure you watch for it. Which I thought was maybe actually clever on Mercedes' part, because are fourth quarter commercials less expensive than first quarter or not?
Normally they were, but the recent Super Bowls haven't been blowouts, so maybe they haven't been as low as.
Yeah.
Well, because I'm thinking, if fourth quarter is substantially lower than the first quarter, then maybe you buy the fourth quarter and then you buy some pregame, which the sum total still isn't as high as the first quarter, and you use the pregame to advertise for your fourth quarter commercial. So I thought that was kind of genius, but also a sad, sad day for America.
Now, the one I think, did y'all see the one with Jeff Bridges?
Yeah.
Was he supposed to be the Big Lebowski there?
I don't know.
I didn't get it.
Which one was that one, though?
They show him, and he's and he's rolling. He's doing some kind of bell or something over the two people sleeping. And I don't know.
Oh, okay. I know what that. Okay, so yeah, it's supposed to be what the fuck was that? And
they succeeded. Congratulations. Yes.
Yeah, and it's if you look at there's a web address. What it really is a commercial for is the like software platform that you can build your own website for. And they're basically saying like, this is a website that someone built on our platform. So, you know, you basically saying you can build whatever you want for your website. And I'm assuming that's a real website. And I bet you, I didn't go to it, but I bet you if you went to the web address, it might just be that. It's kind of like a two girls, one cup situation.
except less gross.
Wow.
Why did you have to bring that up?
Just yeah, a really. Website that's the only thing that there is on it. Like it's not meant for anything other than to go and see that.
This has to be one of our worst shows. We mentioned two girls, one cup, and a dead child. I mean, my goodness, where are we going with this program?
Now that football's over with.
Right. Hey, blame their commercials, man. It's their fault.
Yeah, they didn't give us anything good to talk about. All right. Anything last to say on commercials before we move on?
Just underwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of the.
I mean, there were some good ones. I'm not gonna say they were all bad, but I think as a whole, it might be the worst year. I think we might be past the era of great Super Bowl commercials, or at least we're in a valley.
Oh no, I think we're long past the era of great Super Bowl commercials.
Or maybe we just have too high expectations.
We run out of ideas. Like, what else are you gonna do?
Well, it's kind of like movies. There's no original movie anymore.
Right. I mean, it's all reboots. They have to reboot. Maybe bring out a 55-year-old Cindy Crawford and recreate one of those Pepsi commercials.
Right, but those were clear. I mean,
with one of today's models, and half the people would not even reference back to the original.
Well, they did.
And actually, they did that 2 years ago.
they did one with I forget the model's name, Kate Upton,
mm-hmm.
for a game of war, which I'm not even sure. That's some kind of little app you can buy.
It's an app, yeah, a freemium game.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, she's, you know, a supermodel and very fun to look at.
fun? Yeah. They say, yeah, she's fun to look at.
Yeah. She gives you... I mean, I like the Snickers commercial.
Don't remember that one.
With Danny Trejo. As Monica
Brady.
Arthur Brady.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, that's a fine regular commercial. I don't think that's Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, that was cute. That was good.
And maybe that's the problem. Maybe commercials year-round have just gotten better. I wouldn't know. I never watch them.
No, well, exactly. Exactly. With my DVR, I mean, how many times do you really watch commercials now?
Maybe these are great commercials. We just don't realize it.
Right, right. I mean, because I know when I watch a program, I'll either come in 15 minutes late, you know, so I can
avoid the commercials. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no doubt.
Or all right. Together. So, well, moving on. Halftime, Katy Perry coming in on the big lion.
She's fun to look at, too.
Yes.
I like looking at Katy Perry.
Yeah, I agree with you there. That's something we can definitely agree on.
I thought that was a great, great halftime, too.
I don't know about great. I mean, I didn't.
About great. It was good.
The fireworks were pretty awesome.
Yeah, the lion was cool.
The lion was awesome. I think production value, they stepped it up. It kind of reminded me of like a mini Olympic opening ceremony or closing ceremony.
Nah, I mean, it was all right, you know? I mean, I like what Beyonce did, you know, in New Orleans a couple years ago.
Shut the lights off.
Nah, well, nothing to do with her. But
I mean, I think Bruno Mars last year was better than this year's halftime. I mean, look, I'd much rather look at Katy Perry than Bruno.
But all
Mars,
Bruno Mars did was stand there and sing. Like,
but he was a great entertainer. He put on a good show. It was entertaining. Katy Perry, you had the fucking dancing sharks. What the hell was that?
That was hilarious.
I love the dancing sharks.
The two sharks and then like both sharks were dancing differently. Like one of them was
doing.
He's probably on ecstasy. I mean, come on.
I thought that was hilarious. And all the little mouths on the trees and everything moving. Mm-hmm. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah,
I think that was meant to be.
But look, it's what the NFL wants. It's a safe.
It's like, hey, Roger Goodell's blah blah blah. Hey, look over here at Katy Perry. Look at sharks. Ooh, look at him.
Right.
Don't worry about concussions. Oh, look at a shark. Look, we got dancing sharks.
Dancing.
I mean, that's typical Jerry Jones. No, look, we got dancing sharks. Come on.
Look at these palm trees, man. They're moving.
Those palm trees aren't too far apart.
All right, that's enough about the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, one last thing with Super Bowl, if you want to maybe talk about it. What about Roger Goodell's state of the
Goodellbot?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, he's such a worthless piece of shit.
I would love to punch him in the mouth.
Like, it's amazing how incompetent, like, even with everything going on, he still can't even put on a good speech.
No. And everything sounds the same. We're working on that. We're implementing that. We're studying that. Rachel Nichols gives him hell, which is nice.
It was aggravating that, dude, he talked down to her. He was a dickhead to her at that press conference.
Yeah, and his tone. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He goes, well, because she asked him, for those of you who don't know, she asked him about how unfair it is that the NFL, you know, brings in, I'm using air quotes, independent investigators, but they're paying them. So they're technically their boss. And his response was, well, who's going to pay for it? Katie, you?
Like, she was the only reporter willing to ask real questions, and right. he treated her so poorly. It just, he's such an arrogant, the whole league is just arrogant dicks. Like, an arrogant dicks. They just assume that football is going to be the most popular sport for the rest of history. And dude,
that's not the case.
Definitely not the case.
Especially with, you know, all this concussion and
I mean, they're saying like little league peewee football is down, has declined 10%.
Oh no, I believe it's more than that. It's, well, yes sir, it's more in the 40-50%.
Wow.
People, you know, our age who have kids aren't letting them play sports. I think we've talked to Jeff about it. And he's not going to let his kids play football.
Swimming or something.
You know? Now Jeff Kidd probably doesn't have the athleticism to be a football player. You know?
Well, you know, they are
Jeff's sons.
Yeah. You know.
Swimmers.
They are swimmers, right. They're more of the Michael Phelps.
Actually, I will say, for 7 years old, they both can throw the ball pretty well, and one of them can catch.
See them towards baseball. Those contracts are guaranteed.
Yeah.
Large.
Yeah.
I know, but then as their dad, I'm going to have to sit through all those baseball games.
Who cares? When they sign a $200 million contract, you're like, oh, all that sitting was well with
it. It's true.
Daddy's retired.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Now let's move on to headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
And the first headline is going to be Benson family drama. More developments have come out. Damon, this is your beat.
Okay.
You like how we assign stories? We assign you. Your job is to follow this story and report on it.
Hey, man, you are the beat writer on this story. Quick, go take a few pictures.
Headline, New Orleans.
Tom Benson.
A couple of things have come up since we last got together and spoke to our good audience. One, something I like to see, a little-known...
Read his tits?
No, a little-known granddaughter of Tom Benson... by his only son, who passed away in the 80s from cancer. He came out in support of Mr. Benson, saying that he doesn't...
She wants to stay in the will.
No, I don't know if this woman's in the will or not.
You get it? That's why she came out.
Right, well, maybe so, you know.
Team Gale.
Right, yeah, I didn't think about it that way, but no... She came out. She lived in the Austin area, which is a real nice area if you've never visited. And she just said, look, that she wished this, you know, wasn't made public the way it has, and that their grandfather at this age doesn't need all this drama that he wishes the other family members would drop their suit and back off. So that was for Mr. Benson. Mr. Benson came out today, Tuesday the 3rd, saying that he was willing to meet with the district court judge that this case is in privately, so the judge, you know, can privately evaluate him and see that he does not need a medical evaluation. Aptitude. Right, test. Roger Goodall came out and said that I speak to Tom regularly. We speak about league business, and he's very much involved and very sharp. If you know, nothing's changed from that point of view.
Now, granted, of course he's gonna defend his owner. He's not gonna say, "Oh no, I met with Tom, and man, he seems kind of off."
Well, yeah. I mean,
I'm not doubting. Like, I believe Benson is competent, but don't use Roger Goodall as a source.
Well, no, I mean, he could have come out and said nothing, you know.
As much time as we have spent discrediting Roger Goodall for everything,
right.
I agree. Don't use him as a source.
Right.
Unless it's to say even this fuck clown is
right. And then I find one of the really the most telling of this whole saga is that when one thing I think, I'm not sure if we talked about it last week, but everybody was making comments about, you know, well, Mr. Benson tried to put money in the trust, because how this trust works is that Benson can add and remove
assets
as he wishes. But when he removes them, they have to be
placed with equal value.
Or I guess, you know, more value, but at the least equal value. So one of the things that we didn't know was that not all of the Saints' shares are in the trust. The trust only contains 60% of the shares of Benson Football. So he doesn't have to replace things in the trust, you know, that's going to be that $1.7 billion that everybody's talking about. And it seemed like the first time that they tried to do it, where one of the trustees, not the three R's, but a kind of a third-party attorney, blocked it, was that the assets he wanted to replace him with were promissory notes.
But unsecured.
Unsecured. I'm sorry, you're right. Unsecured promissory notes. Yes. Thank you. And now, and I think this was last week, you know, some of the assets that he has tried to put back in, he has put in like $420 million.
Of a secured note.
Of secured notes. Right.
Which I think they even brought it up to the whoever made the determination. He's like, you know, just at a glance, the value looks like it, you know, it would work, and it'd be a legal swap.
Right. Where before it looked like maybe some shenanigans might have been going on. So that's a good thing. You know, that's a good thing, and maybe that's why the heirs, the three R's, filed the suit, because maybe they knew that he did have the money and other assets to replace these assets, the Saints and the Pelicans, and they just didn't want, you know, that's why they're trying to declare him mentally incompetent, which there's a high bar set for that. And in my totally know nothing fucking opinion about this legal shit, you know, I know a lot about other shit.
Yeah, Bill Belichick's nutsack.
Oh, hey!
With his two, that's where he keeps his last two Super Bowl rings. Although, no. as a cock ring, Jason. When's the last time the Patriots won a Super Bowl? Oh, that's right. That's 2 days ago. But anyway, so
The next show is going to be like 9 days ago, 10 days ago. Further away now. Right. This is the best it's going to be. So enjoy it.
The last one. But anyway, so it looked better, in my opinion, for Mr. Benson. And because I was kind of worried last week. I'm not going to admit, you know, I was kind of worried. I do not want to see the three R's get control of this organization or both, either organization.
No, it would. I think it would be just death. But it would not be good.
Right. So things are looking better for Team Gale.
All right. Anything left to say about it? No? Good. Moving on. Bill Parcells. For some reason, this is back in the news. in his book, is it autobiography or is it a biography?
It is a official something that he wrote with someone else. I'm not sure what you call it.
It's one of those tuna biographies.
Okay. Right. Tunographies. Right. He basically talked a little bit in his book about the 2012 season, Peyton's suspension year, and the whole rumors about whether he would coach the team or not. And I get, correct me if I get this wrong, but essentially he was saying that he was willing to do it, but he would have wanted to bring in his own guys. But Loomis didn't want to do it because Loomis didn't – like there might be like a bit of a power struggle, and Loomis doesn't like that.
Well, what the quote was in the book that I found, you know, he said who knows what Loomis really thought? I don't have any idea. I don't know Loomis. I only met him once. But guys like me threaten guys like him. That was the Tunis quote. And of course, if you read the article, they had met to play golf to talk about the idea. Sean Payton had put it together. Mr. Benson and Sean Payton were very high on the idea. Parcells, you know, wanted to think it out. He wanted some of his own people in there. We was given permission to speak to Eric Mangini, who was a ESPN broadcaster at that particular time, and some other individual that I don't recognize. You know, and Loomis was kind of, from the article, he wasn't really 100% with it, didn't like what it might do going forward or how it would affect the current coaching staff. I think hindsight being 2020, I think Loomis made the right call, even though at the time we were all pumped up for the tuna. I kind of agree with why, you know, how much messing with perfection, not perfection, but, you know, messing with his staff did you really want to do? Now, if you tell me he'd have came in and got rid of Joe Vitt and McMahon, maybe, you know.
You're right. You're like, hey, this guy, this tuna knows what he's talking about.
Right.
Hey, big tuna.
Right. But I'm and we had talked about this before, and Jason will give you a chance to explain yourself. I'm just curious about that quote.
Explain yourself.
Yeah. When
he said that,
but guys like me threaten guys like him.
Well, because both, I mean, Parcells is a big control freak, and I gotta imagine Loomis likes to have his share of control with Peyton over the team, and that's just the type of guys that those guys are. They don't usually they can't usually coexist in the same environment, even if it's just a makeshift year. It probably wasn't worth bringing in Parcells and risking any weird shit happening. That just say, hey, let's take our fucking medicine that Goodell unrightfully put upon us, and we'll get him back in 13.
Yeah. So you don't think it was a slam on Loomis?
No, I think he respects Loomis. Look, guys that are good at their job are good for a reason. I mean, they like to do it their way, and maybe they just didn't want to get along. I don't think it's indictment on either side. Both have obviously been good at what they do. It's just, hey, maybe it wouldn't have worked.
Maybe it's not like a personal thing. It's more
– no, it's just, hey,
our styles don't mesh.
It's just like they're both alpha dogs, and, you know,
be harmful to the team.
Right, right. Yeah. And he'd rather not disrupt anything of his protege, Peyton, you know, if he came in and shit just got all crazy, and then Peyton comes back at 13, and then, you know, who knows what's going to happen. Maybe he didn't want to do that to Peyton.
Yeah, Peyton's like, what the fuck did you do,
man? Right. Yeah, I'm okay. I mean, I'm not – look, the whole quote is guys like him are threatened by guys like me. I mean, I don't
– I just said because they're the same type of guy. They both want their way.
I don't – you know.
Maybe it was written in order to – like it was written that way.
I think it's self-explanatory. It's easy to see what that means.
If I say that you're threatened by me, I mean I don't think that I'm not giving you a compliment.
But I don't think it's an indictment. I think it's just.
I think it's an indictment on your character. If I would say that about you, it'd definitely be an indictment.
I don't think so. I just think there's other. If you've been running a franchise for ages, and all of a sudden this guy with all these credentials is going to come in. Like, how's that going to work? And he even said he didn't know Loomis.
Right.
You know, I mean, look, guys run their ship and it's been successful, but if some other guy comes in who is known to to control a lot and handle a lot of that stuff, those guys don't tend to get along with each other. Usually only one wins and the other wins.
The thing is, yeah, he could have said guys like him and guys like me don't work well together, but for him to say intimidated.
Exactly. Right. That's not what he said. He didn't say that we don't work well together. Two alpha males don't work. That's not what he said. He said guys like him are intimidated by guys like me.
Which is kind of an egotistical thing for him to say.
Well, because that's the kind of guy Parcells is. I mean, fucking look at him.
It's the kind of guy he is.
I mean, that's what makes him a two-time Super Bowl winner and can turn around franchises.
Right. So I would be surprised he said that about Loomis. I mean,
I don't think it's that big of a deal, honestly.
I'm curious again. I'd be curious on just.
I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's just, hey, you know, look, it didn't even happen. Obviously he didn't come in and coach us, so it's over. Done.
All right. Moving on to look at him tweets.
Hey.
So we did get a tweet in time for the show. This one's coming from the Gear Fondler.
Oh, even in the offseason, we'll get a tweet.
Oh, yeah. This one comes in. It says, if the Saints lost a Super Bowl the way the Seahawks just did, would you ever be able to recover?
Well, I can't say that we lost the Super Bowl, but man, that San Francisco loss was pretty damn close, considering that we should have won the Super Bowl that year. I mean, look, it's... I'm sure eventually I would have recovered, but man, that would have been so brutal. I mean, just think of how bad the San Francisco game was and how long it took us to get over that. A Super Bowl loss like that would have been like if Breeze would have threw a pick from the 1 yard line with 20 seconds left, and Damon's like, "Give the ball to Ingram." that's what we'd all said. Give the ball to Ingram, even run away. Like if we'd have lost a Super Bowl like that. That would have been
hard.
That would have been hard.
It would have been hard, but we wouldn't have Drew Brees is.
Oh, you saying he wouldn't have threw the pick?
How many
interceptions did he throw this year?
I think 16.
I think it was more than that.
Really? I thought
it was 17 picks he threw.
Oh my god!
But it was more than 16.
Well, yeah, but you put the ball in your best hands, your best player's hands, and Drew Brees is by far in a way the best player on the New Orleans Saints.
17.
Okay, but it still would have been like, but if he'd have thrown a pick from the one, it still would have been pretty fucking brutal.
17.
Oh no! I mean, as far as that, yes. I mean, yes, losing just like fucking Green Bay has to be hitting itself right now.
So.
Hold on, Damon. Remember how mad you were when Breeze threw the pick six against Frisco, Atlanta, whatever? Like, magnify that, and let's say he throws a pick in the Super Bowl from the 1 yard line. Do you know how mad you'd be?
Oh God, you're
mad or depressed or? I mean, like, could you come back the next season? I mean,
you would think we would, but man, that would be so.
It would be tough.
What would it be like?
Ugh.
I would have to consider giving up on football altogether at that point. Just be like, I can't put myself through this ever again.
It'd be like two girls, one cup. I mean, that kind of just like.
Why would it be like that?
I
love how we're talking about it like we just heard of it. We just learned about it.
Right.
Hey guys, have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Right. Man, I mean, okay, it would be hard. That's a tough. Like, I don't know. It would take me a really, really long time to get over that if that happened.
Yeah. All right. So, speaking of, have you seen this? Have you heard about this? It's time for that segment.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Okay. So I got two of them. One of them is, and I can't tell who wrote this article. The headline is Fletcher Mackel: Saints Mock Draft. Version 2.0.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, which means it is not the first, it is the second mock draft already for the Saints. And so it's either Juan Sanchez or Fletcher Mackel of who Damon should direct his hatred to.
Maybe you should direct it at Fletcher through Travers. I don't know how you do that. Just find a way.
Just find a life. Finds a way. So I thought it was funny that not one, but two mock drafts have already happened.
Oh, right. There's more than two that are right.
Yeah.
That's just the two that you found.
Yeah.
Right. So there have been two mock drafts. So the first one, I really can't understand why people do this. I mean, I need another job because I need what these people are doing. I mean, people are so successful in life, so much more than I am, because they have time to sit around and fucking think about something that's.
No. Well, here's half the problem. People still click on it. That is the problem. People still click on articles saying, "Oh, mock draft version 3.1." Well, of course I'm going to click on it.
Right.
Why? It's so. You know, that's half the problem is that people will click on it. If nobody clicked on it, they wouldn't do it.
Right. So if you're clicking on mock drafts, you have a problem.
Stop. You're just as bad as people who do mock drafts. Like, y'all can be in a tug of war over a pile of shit. Hope y'all both.
Right. I mean, you're sitting here and going to discuss something that's you don't know anything. I mean, why am I going to talk about some cornerback out of Ohio State or wherever that. It's incredibly.
Yeah.
Especially before free agency. Because I'm going to say, you know, 70% of the teams, you know, obviously after free agency, your needs are going to change. So why do you talk up? Why do you talk up? What? Go help lepers and blind kids, okay? Go do something.
Go help deliver those Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl shirts to.
Right, to the Africans, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Could do that.
All right. The other, have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Is Brandon Cooks. So haven't heard from him in a while. So I was just happy to see an article where they interviewed him. It's a fluff piece, but he was cleared 3 weeks ago and has been working and practicing hard ever since. And just kind of the quote that he gave in the article is just one of those, like, it's good to have a guy, even if he's just given us, you know, a PR quote, but it's, I don't know, for whatever reason, it encourages me for next year that he's just said that, you know, how hard I work and commit to this off season is going to dictate how well I play. Like, just kind of like the work ethic is there.
Well, I mean, look, we've obviously said that we think the kid's going to be a real player. And it's been a while since I've had a Cook boner. I mean, a Cook's boner. It's been dormant for a while. It's going to be creeping back up, and I can't wait.
Oh, speaking of that, there was wasn't there a Super Bowl commercial with the Viagra pill, even though it wasn't for Viagra?
I was like, okay, there's a Viagra pill that's bouncing off on the house. It's like, where's it going? They're just throwing this Viagra pill out, and it's going. This dude's ready to – obviously, this dude's ready to have sex. This dude is ready to fuck that chick, and they're
– got a Cook's boner.
Right.
He's trying to get one. Okay. So other than that, let's move on to NFL Reach Around. This is a quick little story. Damon, you found this one about the Shitlanta being busted for pumping in crowd noise.
Yes. NFL investigated the Shitlanta Falcons.
The NFL Investigative Unit. There's the NCIS.
Right. And today, Count Chocula came out and admitted that, yes, the allegations are true.
Oh, he admitted.
Yes, he did.
He showed remorse. We'll see if
he showed remorse, and said, "I'm ashamed. This doesn't show the culture of us," and blah blah blah.
Yeah, the culture of them is losing.
Right. So I just want to say, and I know, no Shitlanta fan listen to us because they don't have the IQ to understand this. Okay. But we ain't tough enough for them. But Atlanta cheated on the field. It does not surprise me from this kind of organization, from that coach. And like I said today, it came, you know, asshole Count Chocolate admitted it. And the punishment, I don't know if y'all not following the story close enough. The punishment Roger Goodell, he already came out with it like at 8, 9 o'clock tonight. And the punishment is going to be Mike Smith has to coach for another year in Atlanta. That's their punishment. He has to come back and coach again.
I wish.
I thought that'd be a bigger laugh. Might have been.
I got it. Maybe Jason stopped paying attention.
Well, I think maybe Jason going to play with himself.
Oh, he did say he's going to play with himself.
Yeah, well, hold on.
That's not what I said. I just went to go grab a drink. Settle down.
That is not what we have.
Settle down, screen. Barry.
No. See, I sent that out 20 minutes ago.
I know. Anyway, did you hear my joke? Did you hear my joke?
No, but I will when I edit.
Oh, that's a good joke.
Okay, well then I guess I'll have to leave it in.
One thing I just retweeted too, by the way, from Twitter was the picture of Richard Sherman holding up the 4, because when he was saying like 24 or whatever,
right?
It was just the freeze frame of 4 and the captions. How many points did you lose by?
That's cute. Oh,
go fuck yourself, Richard Sherman.
Thank God they lost, dude. I watched them catch that.
The one thing that went right this year.
I watched him catch that lucky pass, and I was so dejected, man. This year couldn't have been any worse. I mean, Atlanta winning was the only way it could have been worse. You know, I mean, anytime if Atlanta ever wins the Super Bowl, that's the only way it can be worse.
Did y'all talk about Atlanta and Arthur Blank admitting his problem, but, the, you know, they introduced their new coach, Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator, probably gave up a double-digit fourth-quarter lead, is now their head coach. And they had they had balloons in his office, and apparently they're starting a new deal of quitting and just, oh, it's so, like, it's almost as bad as Rise Up.
Quinning. That is such a rudderless organization.
It is so Atlanta. I mean, it really is. It's so Atlanta.
It really is.
And
quinning, that's a lot like quitting. Or what? When did y'all say to earlier today?
Shitting. Yes. So many people were making different uses of the word "quin," and even somebody, a couple of people posted a quinting, and they put a picture of Jaws eating quint from the boat. I thought that was good.
I mean, this is an organization that they try so hard. Again,
that's their problem. They try too hard.
Rise up, which we've talked about, is just totally made up. Freaking corporate, you know, because they want who that so bad. They looked and they saw the genuine love and affection between this city and this team and how it is one. And they want it so bad and they can't get it. They can't get it. And you know what, you scumbags? You can't manufacture it. It won't happen. You can't do it. You will never have what the New Orleans Saints and their fans have. You are a second-tier organization. Fuck you and delve in the fucking misery and floundering that has been your organization for 47 years.
Uh-huh.
Fuck Atlanta.
I'll be curious to see, since they admitted guilt in this whole crowd noise thing, are they going to get a draft pick taken away? They should, right?
Definitely.
I mean that's cheating. That's cheating, and they admitted to cheating. They're not denying it. He admitted to cheating.
Right, and not kind of cheating. Not maybe he was cheating. I mean, they cheated because they couldn't get a home field advantage. You know, they
and their dome was still quiet.
Right, with their three people sitting in there.
Right. There ain't enough crowd noise in the world that can make up for shitty fans.
Nope, I hate that organization so much. I mean, it's embarrassing. Again, I mean, that would be my main thing if God forbid I was an Atlanta fan. I mean, it's just the embarrassment of that organization trying to copy the success of others. You know, I mean, and not just on the field, but, you know, like I said, the Hoodat, the dome field advantage we had 1 year, you know.
They have, you're right, it's Quinning is a perfect example of what they have. Is they've got a marketing department,
right,
who, like Damon said, is manufacturing false hype, and right, it's just not real, and the people of that city aren't, even the people of the city aren't buying it. So and that's because the people of the city don't give a shit about their football team. Now, part of that is because most of the people are not from there originally. So, you know, it's a transplant type city. So the issue is that Atlanta doesn't have an identity. There's no culture there. There's no one is tied to that city.
Coca-Cola. That's all they got is Coca-Cola.
Yeah, the people who – the Coca-Cola Bears. The people who live there will leave in a heartbeat the minute they get another job. You know, and they'll never look back, and they'll never go back, and they'll never go visit when they do leave. Whereas New Orleans, like, even if you leave, you're going to come back as often as you can. There's a culture that you take with you, that wherever you go from New Orleans, that you bring that culture and implement it wherever you live. That's why there's like Mardi Gras celebrations all over the country now. You know, people from New Orleans, they go to Tennessee and they try to have these little, you know, they're like, they can start a little Mardi Gras. You know, obviously it's not to the extent of this, and it may not be a parade, but they're going to have a little party, and they can invite all their friends there to have a little taste of Mardi Gras. There's a culture here of a pride with a city that they will never be able to duplicate, no matter how hard their marketing department tries to manufacture it. And I love it.
Nope, I agree with you. It's so sad. So sad. If
for them, it's great for
us. Oh, no, right. No, but no, it's not
sad. Sad isn't pathetic. Okay.
Exactly. Right. Sad is pathetic. Not sad where I feel bad for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad as in you are a pathetic loser.
There you go.
You should go shoot yourself.
Okay. And now it's time for the highly anticipated Pelican Plug.
The game.
Yeah.
Playing to survive. Aiming to win any way they can.
You gon' win!
Yeah. Yeah, pass the ball, final cast and call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw. Too fast for y'all. You might take.
Yeah, man. Pelican Plunge. Good shit going on right now, huh?
Yeah.
Winners of 6 of the last 7 games. Only the one unfortunate loss, but man, beat after our last recording. Did we record? Did they record before we went to go watch them with your dad?
I don't know.
I think it was just Philly. So they beat Philly. They beat.
It was after that, actually. We recorded after that. Yeah.
Okay. They beat the Clippers on Friday night. Chris Paul came back, and we beat them. Ended their 6-game winning streak. And then the Shitlanta Hawks came in Monday night, ended their 19-game winning streak.
And got crunched.
Right, yeah.
Beat
them by 15. I mean, really,
arena was on fire, huh?
We were in control the whole game.
Yeah,
it was a great crowd, and the crowds lately have been better. The Friday night crowd against the Clippers was pretty good. The Atlanta game was pretty good. A lot of that stemming from the Special Man commercial. It's been bringing up a lot of hype for everybody, and it's fun to be in an arena like that.
That is New Orleans marketing, the Special Man.
Yeah,
not rise up or shitting or quitting, whatever the fuck it is. It's the Special Man. That is unique. It shows a connection to the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
It is clever.
With no problems.
That's right.
It was good. That was good.
You have to see the Special Man.
Let him have it.
All right. So that's it for the Pelican Plunge?
Well, no.
Well, hold on. Yeah.
So AD did it. He injured himself in the game that they lost the one night against Denver, which Denver had lost a bunch of games. It was a bad loss, but just didn't have it. But Davis injured himself, so he missed the Clippers game. And somehow we beat the Clippers without Davis.
Wow.
Which is pretty damn fucking incredible. Ajinsa had a good game. Anderson had a good game. Gordon had a great game. I mean, Gordon, since he's come back from his injury, has been a phenomenal player. He's been the guy that we thought we were getting in the initial trade way back when. So he's been playing well. But, we beat the Clippers without Davis, and then Davis returned against Atlanta. Their big streak on the line, a good crowd. And you could just tell, like, they're finally – they're getting it. They're starting to gel. It's really starting to come together. And you can just tell out there, like, they're having fun playing basketball now. You can just see it. They enjoy playing. There's a lot of emotion going on. And I think this is more than just, you know, a small little streak and then we'll settle back into mediocrity. I think, you know, the light's just coming on. We made the trade to get Pondexter in, and he's a really smart guy. He's made a huge impact on this team. And you could just see it against the Hawks. I mean, Kyle Korver is the best three-point shooter in the league. He's shooting like 50-something percent from three, which is unheard of. And we had Cunningham on him, and we had Pondexter on him, and they both did a fantastic job. I think Korver only had 12 points. I mean, there's an energy. The defense has played better. They're passing the ball. And Tyreke Evans, since Drew has gone down, has been forced to play the point, and he's passed more than he has – you know, trying to go up for all his crazy layups, and he's got 12 assists in four of his last five games. Usually, had 9 career games of 12 assists, and 4 of them are in the last 5 games. So this team is on a roll. They're playing well. They've got a superstar in Davis, and Gordon is playing. I mean, Gordon, his turnaround has been really
that's who's impressed me. Well, talking to someone about it, and maybe this is because of his turnaround, or maybe his turnaround is because of this, but he seems like he wants to be here now. To me, it seems like he's having fun, where before I never felt that way about him. Comment. I mean, what do you? I mean, you think he just got healthy, or what's your opinion on
well,
that?
Well, I think he's. I mean, he's definitely healthy now, but he's just. I mean, I don't know, because I thought he. I mean, he was healthy for a long time.
But didn't you always feel, I mean, I know I always felt since the trade that he did not want to be in New Orleans.
Initially, yes. Initially, for sure, he did not want to be here. But I wonder if he, I mean, at some point, he, like everybody else, realizes, holy shit, we have Anthony Davis.
Right.
Like, this kid's 21, he's going to be the best player in the league, and we can win with this guy. I think he's...
That's already being discussed, you know, in sports circles, you know, Anthony Davis. Is he the best in the...
I mean,
is he the best player?
I still think you'd have to give it to LeBron, but with Durant's injury, I mean, Davis and Steph Curry has played great this year too. I mean, he's up there too. But I mean, Davis is up there. He's in the top 3-4 guys, and he's the youngest guy by far. Like he is gonna be the best player in the league. It's not a question of if; it's a question of when.
Right. And look, we were texting earlier, and I told you, I think that was last night's game. You know, AD needs to be the face of New Orleans sports. Right now it's Drew Brees, because Drew had the championship, and a lot more people are in love with the Saints than the Pels.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, I can see that changing, though. I can see AD, I can see them winning the championship with him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, clearly. Like I said, I mean, in the NBA, when you have the best player in the league, I mean, you're going to make the playoffs every year. All it takes is one year, one run. And
right.
Look, obviously, no offense to Drew Brees, but Brees is going to be one of the best quarterbacks of his era. Davis can be the best player in the entire league.
Right.
And that's the difference. And people here are just so in love with their football, but Davis should. I agree with you 100%. Davis will be the face. And I think he will. He's too good not to be.
Yeah.
He's too good not to be.
He is incredible. For our local listeners, you know, if you're not watching Anthony Davis in the NBA, you are a loser. You are missing out. You are missing out on something special. You know, Chris Paul is very good at his position. But it's a position where you're not going to be the best in the NBA. You know, or you're not going to bring the excitement like an AD brain. It's just incredible. Just the things he can do on the court. And you saw it last night if you watched the game. I mean, just coming up and scoring and getting rebound and putting, you know, getting the basket in.
He's doing, like, dude, he had a putback last night off a three-pointer. Right. Yes. Like, nobody else in the league can do that.
No.
And, like, it was great. Like, he did that. The crowd just went nuts when he did it. It was so awesome.
It is. I mean, the Pels, he's matured. He's matured is the thing. You know, he's getting better every year. And as far as, you know, look, we've talked about, you know, losing him. I don't see that being the case because he has a stable organization around him that Chris Paul didn't. He just didn't at the time when, you know, it was his decision, you know, came time for him to decide if it was time to leave or not. He didn't have an owner. The NBA owned his team. So
I mean I don't think he's like he's not going anywhere anytime soon, and like with the CBA, I mean, he's going to get an extra $30 million and he just by staying here. So the key is just to win while he's here, and look, if they can continue progressing, I mean, right now they're on pace for 46 wins. Now it might make the playoffs, it might not, but to me that's enough progression because they won 36-37 last year. Going up to 46 this year in the West, as tough as it is, I would be okay with it. I mean, I'd much rather the playoffs, obviously, but I mean, we're right there, and we're still. And Holiday's is still their second best player is not even playing right now.
Right,
like that's almost the scary part. Like, what's gonna happen when he comes back, and we're gonna have that extra depth, that extra player. And I just like the fact that they seem to be having fun playing basketball. And you can tell the difference of this team playing now as compared to playing in November.
Oh, 100%. And I like the home field advantage that they are getting
with
the King Arena.
We're 17-6 at home.
17-6.
We had a fantastic home court advantage.
Right.
That's why people need to keep going to the arena. Keep packing it in. Keep dude, going. It's fun. You know, it's a fun time, and this team is good.
But you need that player like Anthony Davis to make it fun, and we have that.
Right, exactly.
And we have it. And basketball games are so much different than football. So much different. You're closer to the action, so you have a different feeling. There's always something going on with the crowd and, you know, them trying to entertain you. Not like football where you have, you know, these long timeouts. It's always action. The kids love it. I mean, and the pricing. Look, it's easier to go. You can go to 20 Pelicans games for what you paid to go to one Saints game.
Yeah. But the beer's the same price. No, the beer's cheaper at the Pelicans game.
Beer's a lot cheaper than the Pelicans game. And dude, I mean, look, you can find with the new – you can get a ticket for $8 sitting in the upper levels, and it's still closer than anything, closer than my seats in the dome. I mean, there's no bad seat in the house, really.
It's really bad. Really,
yeah. So, excited about the Pelicans. Man, if they could go on a run, it will help them so much. And we talked about this after Mr. Benson bought them, how they really need to ingratiate themselves, that the word, you know, or they've had to find an identity to connect with the fans of New Orleans. And with being the Pelicans, being the Hornets, I like the name change. I told you that then. I liked moving to something more regional. And the winning, you know, winning solves a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of winning.
Well, just one last little remainder that I didn't mention. We play the Thunder in the arena tomorrow, and then we're at the Thunder on Friday. They're two games behind us. The Pelicans are only one game out of eighth place in the West. So we are right there in the playoff hunt, right there.
I must admit I don't follow the league as much as I should. Jason, who is ahead of us that one game?
I just said Phoenix.
Phoenix, okay.
Phoenix. So, look, we can easily overtake them. And if we beat... We got the two games with Oklahoma City. If we win one of those games, then we win the tiebreaker for the year because we're already 2-0 against Oklahoma City this year. So one more win against them, we'll have the tiebreaker at the end of the year in case we tie with them. Because everybody seems to think, well, Oklahoma City's the team that's going to pass both us and Phoenix. But, dude, Durant still not been fully healthy. He's not. It doesn't look like he's going to play tomorrow. And, look, Phoenix, that'd scare me, dude. When you get a superstar like Davis, he could carry this team to that 8th seed. And just get me in the playoffs. Just give me the excitement.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game. And how you play it. It's all about control. And if you can take it.
Not quite as exciting, or should I say, more exciting than Pick'ems was this week. Even though there was some tension going into it, but Jeff did indeed lose it, so he finishes the season below 500 at 46 and 47. However, this is an improvement on his 2013 season without the spread. Somehow we all got better with the spread. It's weird.
So Jeff came in last.
Come in last.
Oh, you know, when you're on top, that's all people just want to do is knock you down.
Well, you managed to do that all by yourself.
Yep. So Damon's victory got him to 48 and 45, very respectable with the spread. But, of course, I continued my streak. I obviously won the Super Bowl, and I finished 52 and 41, 11 games above 500. Pretty damn impressive for the guy who finished last year. So.
It just, you know, Jeff reminded me of oil prices. You know, he was riding so high at the beginning of the season, and then just totally
tanked. My car thanks you, but you know,
Jeff, you have anything to say about that? I mean, you have any speculation on what happened?
I think I started to go down when I stopped using my net points differential, and. No one next year. I figured out what the problem is, and I know how I'm going to fix it. Hashtag Drew Brees. I lost some leadership on my team, and I'm going to get it back.
Well, we'll be pulling for you, Jeff.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Hey, look, you won last year. You know, you get like a little grace period.
That's fine, yeah. At least, Dayton, how many become seasons have you won?
I've only been doing it 2 years. So.
All right, how many have you won?
I've come in twice. I've come in second both times. I've never
Damon,
come in last.
Wait, how many? No, Jeff, you're saying it wrong. Damon, when's the last time you won pick-ups?
many times that I've lost it.
So you kissed your sister. Alright. Not even. Just you're actually second place. You didn't even tie. Okay.
You're not first, you're last.
Yeah. Any final thoughts?
I'm excited for the football season to be over. I'm ready to take a break from the NFL. I'm not gonna give them my business if I can help it. I'm just, you know, screw them, screw their commissioner, screw their arrogance. I'm ready. I'm NBA all the way until the end of the season. Let's hope the Pelicans can make this push.
Damon, should we rename it the Smoothie King Center Podcast then for the off season?
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Yeah, it is going to be nice that the season is behind us with a disappointing season. Yeah, but now oh my goodness, now we have the draft coming up.
So we're gonna have 3 months until the draft. Three months.
And
we have free agency coming up.
Right, you got free agency, you got the draft, you got countless mock drafts that I'm sure Damon is gonna pour over and curse out, and I'm gonna love it.
Yeah, but not just that. Even in the football world, you know, like the programming, they're gonna talk about all these draft picks and all these guys and this guy and that guy. And, you know, 98% of them you'll never hear from again. It's so frustrating this time of year. But I'm like, I don't think I'm not going to watch any of it. I'm going to enjoy the Pels and their winning streaks and incredible
player.
Davis just doing Davis things. It's amazing. It really is amazing to watch him.
Nope, he is fun, man. It's nice to have something to pull for in New Orleans in the offseason. So we have it now. So let's but you know what? I can't wait till August next year.
Yeah, I know. All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling your friends about the Dome Patrol Smoothie King Center podcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, stupid 2014 season donkeys.
Good night, Hootat Nation.